Hello!
Hello!
If you'd like to listen to Running Commentary ad-free and get access to other exciting advantages...
And support us in our dotage.
Yes, subscribe to us on Acast Plus now.
Subscribe to the Plus and get the good stuff from us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You remember how Harry Hill used to do, you know, when people look like on Harry Hill's TV burp?
All right, yeah.
Yesterday there was a guy on Antiques Roadshow and he had like a framed load of medals.
Right.
And Junior said, you know when someone looks like their medals? There's this old guy with this kind of neat round head. And he had this oval thing full of medals and the way they were laid out, they were both going like this. It was hilarious. I wish the TV burp was still on. Anyway, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It's we're recording this the day after London Marathon.
It's a chilly, grey spring, but still very springy. So green and loads of birdies singing. And London Marathon, yes, my goodness.
It was good fun to watch, wasn't it?
It does
bring it all back, doesn't it?
Oh, more than that. I was with Robert Elms on BBC London.
Right.
All morning.
Yeah.
On the Cutty Sark.
Oh, nice.
It was incredible.
Nice location, yeah.
It was fun and exciting anyway, but it just built up and built up. And by the time I left there, I was on just such
should a... Should go down there and warm up.
Cool, yeah. Massive high.
Yeah.
From the whole thing.
It's a completely giddy explosion, isn't it?
Giddy is exactly the word.
It really is.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And
euphoria.
Yeah, and such a... It's just the best thing.
Yeah.
It's the best thing I could have... And once you tune into it, you know... Because I think it's slightly... It's different now because it's all staggered.
Right.
Which I think is great. I think it means they can have more people. It means they can space it out. It means that every element, every phase of the run is populated by the people who want to be there doing that run at that
right.
pace.
Right, yeah.
You know, it just makes... It evens things out beautifully. But it means that that thing of... I think that the coverage, the sort of 9 o'clock in the morning, what's happening, who's won, is a bit kind of outmoded because it just goes on and on and on, you know. And that's what's beautiful.
Well, it managed to get both this year because it was like, it was intensely competitive at the front end. It was like people
world
together.
Records.
Well, no, people together right till the end, right till the last couple of kilometres.
Yeah,
it
right.
It was a proper tear up at
race.
The end.
Yeah.
It was a real race.
Yeah.
And of course, you've always got the mass fun going on.
Yeah.
And it was great. Our old mate Liam McIntyre did a cozy 2:34.
Yeah, yeah.
He sent me his
at the age of 44.
Yeah, he sent me his splits this morning. 54 miles till halfway, exactly. And then five.
To the second.
And then 5:53 for the rest of the race. Exactly.
You can't run
I mean, you
than
talk
that.
About metronomic pace.
Yeah, around the
with,
world.
With a slight negative split.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the neatest negative split in history.
Just crazy. Crazy run.
But
lots of great runs.
Well, right. Up on the deck there was people from Runners World and they were saying, we were watching, you know, all the initial races came past, just incredible.
Yeah.
But then the next thing you get is the elite club runners.
Yeah.
As they were saying, you know, people with day jobs. And they're going past in, you know, not all of them will get there, but everyone is pacing and loads of people will manage to run it in around 2 hours, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's
I mean, a generation ago, they'd have won.
Yeah. Well, no, they wouldn't, but it's still, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing
okay,
running.
Well, sorry, they wouldn't have won.
Club runners, I mean, 220, but it's it's just wild, isn't it? It's wild. We had one...
Well, once you tune in, just to that thing of being on the deck, once I started tuning in and watching, you just can't stop watching.
Yeah, I bet.
It's just fantastic. Bet, yeah. It's this kind of purity. You've got all those individuals, that kind of crazy rhythm of the constant flow of people by past people standing still. Actual interaction of these kind of...
Yeah.
Some runners looking strong. Some runners making a big fuss.
Yeah.
Some runners head down. Some suffering. Yes. All the people watching, interacting with them. This constant flow. I mean, it's like watching the energy of the universe live.
Yeah,
you know, it's love live.
Yeah.
I saw people... from the Cutty Sark there. I mean, I couldn't look away. I was trying to... And then I came back on the DLR.
Yeah.
And you could see it, you know, and you know the route, right?
Yeah.
So just seeing it from a completely different angle. And every time I saw them, I'm looking, like, I don't know, like trying to catch a glimpse of a famous person.
Yeah.
But it's just all the marathon runners. And I saw some of them at Canary Wharf. So I saw the same people.
Again, yeah.
Just flow past me at 6.5 and then flow past me at 19.
Yeah.
And honestly, I just... It was transcendental.
Yeah.
My family would tell you I was a bit odd for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to witness. And what's wonderful is the guys, the men and women who win.
Yeah.
Are so gentle post race interview. I mean, you couldn't meet nicer people. It's something about that coexistence of it.
Yeah, right. There's nothing raw anywhere.
No,
really,
absolutely not. No.
Except maybe in an individual push for an individual moment.
Yeah, yeah, totes. Yeah.
Is no. That sense of the fancy dress thing again? I think people really get it, but they also don't get it. You know that every incredible bit of fancy dress is just a signifier of what someone else who's just wearing a, I don't know, a charity T-shirt or whatever, is also doing. It's this pure, this blast of wonder. It's very special indeed.
We had a quick shout out to Wes Ball, who managed to hop on late. Persona non grata. One of his mates pulled out,
right,
so he won't be listed. Got his number, came up, did a PB. Three and a half hours. So last minute, that's fantastic.
Strongly advised not to run under someone else's number. It's not allowed. And,
yeah. Yeah, but I mean... You're not going to knock it up at that stage. I mean, people wait. People never get in, do they? They go on the lottery for years and then get in.
No, that's right. It's great. It's funny. It totally makes sense that they launch the ballot when everyone's excited about it.
Yeah.
But it also
just increases the pain, the chances of a... So listen, we're going to try and do some hill reps.
Yeah, well, but I don't know. We haven't talked about how you're getting on medically, but my Race of the King schedule says...
Yeah.
5 times hill reps today.
Yeah.
Let's do one and see, but I don't want to hurt your
I'll
shoulder.
I'll be getting heavy MDS flashbacks because I was doing 6 here and then 4 muzzle hills with a weighted rucksack, feeling like Rocky.
Someone sent
so
a message.
So I'm no longer feeling like that. Here's another guy doing a little.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we're not going to run there.
The hill rep, like that. The hill rep club.
That is impressive. He's demonstrating the hill for us.
Yeah, he's bouncing up.
You know how hills don't look like hills in photos?
Yeah.
He's exacerbated that effect badly.
He's really smashing
he's turning up that hill like he's trotting for the bus. That's really... I've changed my mind about that one. But yeah, so we'll run up here and say, hey, do.
Here we go,
And then, because I can always do
mine. Oh, look, he's only doing short afterwards. Ones.
That's
short.
That's fine. I've got to go to the top.
Yeah, let's do it.
So that's my next...
But won't be able to go fast.
I did, because... I've now done 1 week of my Race to the King. I'm going to go as slow as you like.
Yeah, cool.
Faster than me. I've done 1 week of my Race to the King training. And it's funny because it was the last week of block 2.
Right.
And of 4.
Yeah.
4 week blocks.
Yeah.
And...
we're going a lot slower.
I was so strict about it.
Right.
And I was just looking at it this morning to tell you about it and like look at the chart and stuff. And I remembered that I'd actually made it up a fair bit.
Right.
I was creating the training schedule based on the segue between what I was doing anyway.
Right.
And what threshold recommend, right?
Yeah.
But it was so funny because I found it so easy to be strict about it because I tricked myself into thinking that it was all someone else's idea.
Okay.
You know, so for example, last week, you might have seen, I think I told you, I went out to do a tempo 10K.
Yes.
And I did it at
I saw that pace,
a good
yeah.
lick, and then I held it. It was a really exciting, special run for me.
Yeah.
And then when I looked at it today, I was like, yeah, you decided to do that 10K. That was supposed to be like a, I don't know, less 4 mile run. Or
right,
something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But I never would have done it if I hadn't looked into my diary and thought, oh, 10K tempo, yeah. better do that. And it's me that wrote it in there.
Yeah.
It's weird the things we do to and for ourselves. Like, you know, aims and PBs and things in the marathon or in a run, you see. You schedule it and then you have to achieve it. And then you go, oh, I can't believe I didn't achieve that thing. And everyone's going, you did great.
But yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's understandable. Should you go around to the left?
If you want to, yeah.
Good. How was that? How are you feeling?
It's fine. I can
so
do that.
So look at these pied wagtails.
Yeah, I can do that.
Two of them sitting on the path. Teeny weeny magpies. Don't worry. I'm not going to salute them. You, on the other hand, want a magpie. So how are you? How's your body?
Well, no, it's... the fact is I'm running. This is the first run I've properly had since the 1st of April, so I've had a few weeks off.
April Fool!
Yeah.
Nana! Got you! Got you!
April Fool!
Oh, I was going to say, I forgot, I was going to say just now, so I don't think you saw it, it was on Instagram. Someone sent a video of a guy using a helium balloon to make his backpack
all right.
weigh pretty much nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Is it too late for Paul?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Too late? Maybe too late. Thing is, if you overhelium that, you can end up drifting north up across the Mediterranean.
Yeah, so I've been in my... should we go down there?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, my timeline's been bombarded with images of MDS and, you know, people finishing and all that. But, yeah, I mean, pity party's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a good one. I think I've... you can't say that I haven't been using alcohol to process all this.
Yeah.
Quite fulsomely, but in terms of body-wise, I put myself in the system of the NHS last week, went to the GP.
He's in the system.
The physio had said, the private physio had said, oh, you need to see an orthopaedic surgeon.
Yeah.
Not a surgeon, just an orthopaedic specialist.
Yeah.
I went to the GP, and he said, you need to go and see a physio, and they might tell you to go and see an orthopaedic
specialist.
Sounds
like a Who song. Yeah. I went to the doctor to see what he could do. He sent me to the physio. He said, I want to look at you too. And he sent me back to the doctor,
etc. Yeah, he told me to do exactly the same thing that physio said. He said, go and self-refer in a hospital.
Yeah.
So I'll see. I'll probably do that this week. It's quite a time. It takes quite a long
when
time.
When you say self-refer, you have to walk up and say, hello, Paul Tonkinson is here.
Yeah.
I've got Paul Tonkinson.
Do you know who I am? With my MRI results. He's a lovely doctor, the GP, but it's quite chaotic. I mean, it took ages to send my MRI results to him, and then he didn't really read them that closely. And then, but it's still nice to be seen by someone like him.
Yeah,
just to sit in the room with him and be seen by him.
Yeah, I think
and
if you get anything done shoulder. In less than months, then you're being prioritised quite nicely.
Shoulder doctor works. Oh, no, not, well, no, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be... I'm not jumping anything.
Yeah. No, it's just getting treated.
Yeah. It's...
not like that guy in Race Across the World who keeps doing it. Oh.
0.4 seconds. Average pace, 12 minutes. 0.2 seconds per mile. Current pace, 11 minutes, 24 seconds per mile.
So now you know. Oh, yeah. Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up. Stop it. Shut up. No. No. I turned her off because of that happening.
Yeah.
And then I turned her on basically the same day as you fell over. April Fool! And it's absolutely galvanised my April running.
So
she's such a good friend to me.
So it still hurts and feels awkward, but I can run.
Yeah.
I can run, just get used to it feeling awkward.
Can you run up this hill for a second time?
Yeah, do some exercises, yeah.
And give us some specifics. So have you been sort of drinking every day or going wild in the front of the football or what?
I managed to have a day off yesterday. But I've been drinking most days, has to be said, yeah. I had a few days off last week, but I sort of, you know, went Thursday, Friday, Saturday. How about you? You off, hey, mate?
Yeah, I stopped. I've had a week. It's been a week.
Right.
So I stopped with the beginning of training.
Right.
This time last week. And, you know, it's just great to have a set of rules, really.
Yeah.
A very No booze, strict on the food. Very specific about what the runs are. Right. Didn't go to park on a Saturday, ran 10 miles.
Good.
Like I was nice. At easy pace, like I was supposed to.
Yeah.
And, good all round, really. Nice to have that kind of regimen in place. It was really nice and really bad because my poor wife, after going back to work, back to school, with a cold that came on at the end of these holidays, obviously connected to her recovery, she did a few days at work and then she really wiped out. She lost her voice. She was really ill. She couldn't get home from school. She lost a card night to go and pick her up from school on, I don't know, was it Wednesday or Thursday? Wednesday, probably. And she couldn't, you know what I mean? She was just wiped out again and had to come home and be off work for another couple of days.
Right.
And that was awful. And she's better now, which is great. But also, selfishly, it's just better for me when she's around.
Yeah, of course.
Particularly if she's not actually, you know, giving me hour-to-hour concern and needing constant healthcare.
Yeah, so she's a lot better then.
She's much better.
Brilliant.
Yeah. She should be. I hope, you know, she's still very much recovering and it's a month since her appendix now. So.
Right.
But you guys, you know, these things that happened to you in March and April, they're pretty serious.
Yeah.
So it takes time.
Yeah.
These things take time. We had the Who and the Smiths now. Oh, I tell you, I really did get a bit crazy yesterday. I don't know if my experience at the London Marathon started it or
right.
If I was all teed up to be a bit crazy. Because I was saying to my daughter this morning, it's funny that I haven't been drinking all week. Because you really would have thought I'd had a drink yesterday. I was kind of cock-a-hoop.
Yeah.
And I mention it now because talking about songs. I got Owner of a Lonely Heart by Yes.
Yeah.
Stuck in my head so bad yesterday. I said to them, I wonder if I've had a mini stroke. It was like, get it. And then other people like, had conversations. Judy was like, what's that song, that old song? How does that go? And I was like, does it go, lose yourself?
Because if it doesn't go song, that way. To be fair,
isn't oh, yeah. But it shouldn't replace all other songs and indeed
was
sounds
it, was
in
it,
your mind.
Was it played during the marathon?
I hadn't heard it at any point. It was one of my synapses firing full.
And how was Elms? Was he doing a live, what we call in the biz, an OB?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, he was on the deck. He had a reporter, what's her name, down, actually talking to the crowd and a bunch of guests. And it's lovely. That's what I did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, do you want me to come down? I said, oh, yeah. But he's, you know, he likes what I do and he gets that I'm kind of like a floating, you know, they've got experts.
Yeah.
And then there's me.
You're so a floating enthusiast.
He's kind of using me as part of the live thing, you know. So when he had a bit of sort of downtime.
Right.
He'd get, you know, I'm like a kind of mini posse.
He'd come to you, yeah.
Come to me and we chat about stuff, which, you know, I love that.
Yeah.
Honestly, a bit of a broadcasting like we do here.
Yeah.
Because I had lovely gigs at the weekend, but I was thinking about that kind of flow between talking extempore, not trying to be funny all the time.
Right.
Keeping it open-ended and how good for us that is.
Yeah.
From a kind of voice point of view, you know what I mean? So it was really nice being down there. And that thing of watching the London Marathon compared to being in it, it's a privilege, you know?
Yeah.
I was honestly thinking yesterday that if running hadn't come into my life and it was nothing to do with me, and I found myself there for whatever reason and tuned in, I was kind of thinking, I think ultimately once I tuned into it, this would be affecting me just as much. You know what I mean? Because there's so many people there. Obviously, a lot of people go to support their, they know someone is in it or whatever. But the support of people who just go to enjoy it, particularly
absolutely,
in Greenwich.
Absolutely, just to soak it up.
Which is like a, you know, it's the next thing to, well, you've got Greenwich, you've got Tower Bridge, you've got, you know, it's a very special spot.
It is, yeah.
And the whole place is like a party, we were saying on the radio, it's like a carnival. And
it was a little bit blustery, was it? Do you think? But then I've chatted to some people this morning who reckon it was ideal conditions.
What's I would say that. I think that if you're running very fast, and also obviously I didn't experience the whole course.
Right.
But I was around London quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think if you're really, But if Liam can pull off splits like that, then
yeah,
it's, you know, you think if there was just one windy corner, you'd be able to see it on his.
Yeah, totally.
And maybe he had to make an extra effort or something, but it didn't change it, did it? And someone, the woman did get the world record. So it's obviously a fast marathon was out there. But yeah, I thought the weather was immaculate because it looked beautiful, but it was cold.
Yeah.
And then it just clouded over a bit, not depressingly so, just enough to keep it cool and keep the blazing sunshine off, you know? I think it was a red letter day for London Marathon.
One thing I noticed was the a lot of younger, sort of not our generation, comics started to do it. Like Romish was doing it, Macy Adams was doing it, Esther was doing it. Of course, you've had a chat with Esther.
Yeah, and so, Ivo, I saw.
And Ivo did the pushing the Rosie Jones.
Rosie Jones and Ivo Graham, and I saw them. They went past when I was on the deck of the boat.
Yeah.
That's right.
It made me sort
whole
of want
generation.
To. Made me sort of want to be in there with them in the tent pre.
Yeah.
Pre-race, having a little chat, the
yeah,
old
good
guard.
Scene.
Yeah. I wonder how they got on. I'm sure we'll find out. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, Harry from McFly was there and doing it.
Right.
You know, reporting in for the BBC and stuff, which is, you know, we love that kind of business.
And Sophie Raworth was there donning a Highgate Harrier's vest.
Yeah, but you know, she had to not finish.
Oh, did she?
Did you know? Yeah, she had a bad one.
I mean,
she had a good one. It was a real shame. It feels like, felt to me like. It's a bad season for the legends because, in my mind, I connected her marathon with your MDS, and of course she's done the MDS.
What happened to
her? This is her eighth London marathon.
Right.
She was going well. She was enjoying it. 20 miles, her ankle went.
Right.
Like,
oh dear.
Couldn't put any weight on it.
Oh.
So she's like,
oh dear,
crawling along, getting helped along by strangers. Photos on her Instagram of. Getting it treated, just been in the St. John's ambulance and stuff.
That's like.
But she couldn't walk, you know.
That's like full circle for her, is it? Because you kind of started a London Marathon career in a St. John's ambulance.
That's right. And kind of went whizzing back out there. And that's what she was saying. When I texted and said, hope it wasn't. The thing that I wanted to sympathise was she had to go and get her bag.
Yeah.
So she had to get off the course.
Yeah, that's sad.
At 20.
Yeah.
Let the dream go.
Yeah.
And then negotiate Marathon Day London.
Yeah.
To get to the finish line.
To get the bags.
To pick up the bag. That's,
yeah.
I had that just getting to the road to cross after the Brighton Marathon. When you finish your run.
Yeah.
Suddenly you can. The crowds can be. Well, no, they're just difficult to negotiate, you know.
Well, you're out of the party then, isn't it? It's like the end of the rave and you're all, and the lights are on and you're
trying
to get home.
Yeah, waiting for the cab. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I just really felt.
So okay. Maybe
particularly if she physically wasn't, but she's anyway. She said, "Oh yeah, I'm fine," but she said specifically, "I'll be back."
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it hurt her spirits, but it definitely hurt her foot.
Must have been a ligament thing, so it's quite for it to just go
yeah,
like
she's
that.
She's probably like this, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just no weight on it anymore, and that's a real shame.
Yeah.
But as I say, I saw you in it, and I also saw, talking of my starry-eyed religious moment watching the whole thing. I did clock a guy coming through Westbury on the DLR.
Yeah.
Absolutely crammed. And I was peering down. I was watching the route. You know, I was watching the bit where you go past the Rundown crew.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And the Rainbow Road bit
yeah.
Which is all where all the LGBTQ support is. It's just like an incredible party at such a good point in the run.
Yeah.
And I was seeing it all in the distance. And, oh, it's thrilling. But then I clocked this guy. He didn't even look like he was limping that bad. But he was a runner, you know, you see the number, and he was the same thing, actually. I think he didn't have a bag, so he must have had to go to the finish.
Yeah.
And he was just getting off the DLR and going off down the stairs. And he just, you know, and he just looked a little bit weak, a little bit, so he must have pulled out.
Slightly crestfallen.
And crestfallen, but he was just getting on with his day, and I just thought, oh, yeah, there, but for the grace of God, go I. You know, I've done that, particularly in New York. I just remember being on the course in a big city marathon, and you think, I'm just going to go over there, and I'm going to go home.
It's quite a lonely feeling, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Suddenly, yeah.
So here's to all those people in amongst all these.
Yeah, there's loads of stories,
runners.
Isn't there? Yeah, there's loads of. Like Liam was saying, he'd had a couple of mates' mums had passed away this year, and he found himself thinking of them on the course because it really helped him when he was a kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's always stuff.
Well, our friend Lee Martin. Lee Martin got his PB, and he did his first London, I think. And his dad died this year. And he said that he just found, literally, really had that kind of dialogue with it. You know, he was thinking about him.
Yeah.
And becoming quite emotional, but also, like, it was like coaching.
Yeah.
It was his.
And the guy who won the elite race was talking about Kelvin Kiptum, who died. And
of course,
I've been thinking about him. It's interesting that happens even at an elite level, the sort of healing and processing
the tragedy,
going on,
yes, the sense
during the
of,
races, you know.
That's right, the sense of all different kinds of grief that it is there to process completely. And it was Kelvin Kipson's day, wasn't it? It was a strong memory of him thinking, if he was here, he'd be, you know, this is it. He would have turned up at the race, he might have gone under two, you know, literally.
Yeah.
Just an amazing light snuffed out, a real shame. By the way, how are you feeling? These hill reps, we've done three of my five.
No, they're absolutely, this is absolutely
feels
fine.
Feels good, this
it's
is
fine,
good, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fine.
So that's good. And this weather is nice. So I think that I think we'll have to record London again next year.
Yeah, it'd be nice to do. It would be nice because it's such fun. Yeah. I mean, I've got a...
Oh, you might be doing the MDS.
Well, no, I might do. I've got a... I had a chat with the publishers and agents last week and sort of... Which I've been a bit nervy about.
The Moroccan government.
But they were very understanding. And we're going to have a meeting next week and talk about.
Was it like a parole
for the book?
They're sitting in a long row behind a table.
No, they. Yeah, the book's. You know, it's like an event in itself. This book.
Yeah.
It's lasted quite a while, but they were.
After you've done it, you should write a book about writing.
Yeah,
a book
about it. Well, the writing the book about it will become part of the book, undoubtedly.
Well, maybe the one after that could be the book you write about the book. You write about the book.
The book about the book.
Yeah, do a book about the book. Do a book about the book.
So we need to see. I'm sort of making notes. We'll have a meeting, see what he needs. I might do Race of the Stones. I'll just see how quickly I can recover from this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
There's no point...
As established, it's not... You can't do Race of the Stones if you're not strong, and it is soon. But you did do a load of training.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still a tough one to read at this stage.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's that thing of, like... You know, you don't... You don't completely lose the training, but you lose a lot of it. But then it can come back quite quickly, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? These things, it's harder to make sense of. Because they are just pulling in both directions.
Yeah.
Robert Elms asked me about getting slower when you get older.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you do. But also... You can get faster, train harder, and be better. And those things are much less of a conflict than they seem. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like going into this wave of training, I had a moment of feeling really positive about the speed and strength beyond it. You know, that I will come back to parkrun.
Yeah.
And I will go to York and do a good time.
Yeah.
But equally, I'm not going to go to York and match my PB.
Yeah.
Because it was 10 years ago. It's just ridiculous. It's not that it's a bad thing or that time has passed. I'm just a different man. I might as well go there and say, oh, yeah, I match someone else's PB. Do you know what I mean? It's just a different time in life.
I mean, there was a Heathsider, Sarah Swinnow, who's an incredible runner, but I think she's maybe a couple of years older than me. She managed to get a marathon PB at London this year. She did 2:51.
Wow.
But this is post shoes.
Yeah.
The shoes have changed the dynamic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they've made it so, you know, older runners can get a little bit faster at a certain level, you know.
Yeah, well, I think that's the key training element for me, is to get to the point where I'm both solvent enough and of the mindset that I can have those shoes for the York Marathon.
Well, it was
because
like me.
When I went looking at them for London, no, sorry, for Brighton, I was like, it's not right.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, that was like me when I set the thing of, if I can beat 21 minutes for part run, I'll get them. And I did 20:59, so I got them.
Yeah.
So you set these limits or whatever, but...
And they are the shoes.
But they will make a... You'll be surprised at the difference they make.
Yeah, yeah.
To your
those fast club runners. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. To my marriage.
Yeah.
Those speedy club runners... We were talking about the 220 gang. You know, they were, of course, they're all wearing the shoes.
Of course they are.
It's the shoes all come past. And fair dues, that's what you do.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And
I imagine
and
most
the
people
the,
under
the,
three.
The guy from, what's his name, the guy from Runners World? Is it Nick? Sorry, Nick.
Andy Dixon was.
No, it wasn't him. I know him.
Right.
Anyway, okay. Nice fella. And he was saying how, you know, got into, it was quite interesting, Robert Elms, because he's, you know, coming to it cold and asking about the shoe thing.
Yeah.
He's just saying that on the one hand, you know, it's progress, it's going to happen. And it is, you know, as long as everyone's got the shoes, the playing field has been re-leveled.
Yeah.
But the comparison you can't make, as you were just saying, is now and then.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different...
With the previous generation, it absolutely needs a
different world.
It needs a before and after, certainly, because records are getting broken so frequently.
So I suppose what you're saying is I should be going for my PB in October.
No, I'm saying...
Oh, you're not saying...
I'm saying that you might be surprised what the shoes can give you.
So you really think I can get it?
Well, I think you could get... I think there's a potentially you could get around 315, 320 or... I don't know. It's just like...
I can't believe you're telling me I'm going to get a PB. That's so good to hear. La, 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 la.
I tell you what this accident's made me. It's made me very, very reluctant to fall again.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, hard on my right shoulder.
Yeah.
That's what it's made me.
Got that fear of it.
I said to Rachel yesterday, the next time I fall, I'm going to fall on my left shoulder. And she said... That's not what falling is.
No, you
don't get to choose how you fall.
In fact, and also even that, your body can, I don't know, whatever shoulder you fell on, it probably was your falling shoulder.
Yeah.
Because I always fall on the left.
Well, no, I always fall on my right.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I get the chance, I'll be falling just directly on my head.
Good. The hardest, so least useful part of your body.
Yeah, so I don't hurt any of my...
I have to say, this motorbike helmet you're wearing is a strong look. He looks like a daredevil. I was thinking, I did a joke in my head yesterday at London Marathon. There's some people in complicated... They were talking about group costumes.
Right.
And I was thinking, I feel sorry for the people at the bottom of running a London Marathon as a human pyramid.
Yeah.
It's a tough day for the bottom five, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're going up the long straight hill
middle
on the front of Valley Pally, fifth
Pally,
time.
Yeah.
Feeling good. I noticed it last time. Of course, the good thing about a count of five is fourth one's the hardest one.
Yeah.
Because the fifth one's the last one.
Yeah.
I was thinking that I suppose it's true of like works with four as well. Because I was thinking that in Brighton as it broke down. And I think it's true in most marathons really. That psychologically, the third quarter is the killer.
Yeah.
You don't feel better. It doesn't get easier in the last quarter.
It's just near the end.
The end becomes real.
Yeah.
And you can't really imagine it. And yeah, doing the old five-lap park or a five-hill rep, going into the fourth one, you'll say, oh my goodness, I'm feeling this now.
Although your form changes in the last 4 miles of a marathon, doesn't it? Just the way you run changes. You notice that even with the elite... Even at that level, it just changes slightly.
Yeah. I think you start to edit and economise.
Yeah, totally.
It's a natural
thing
the body does.
Progressive atrophy throughout the race.
And it could even be positive because you're trying to save something.
Yeah.
But you lose something as you go.
Yeah.
And that's why I think still a lot of people were talking about how last year's marathon was very rainy because it really hurts your gait.
Yeah. But it's also why the fast trainers are only useful for people who run at a certain tempo because they're trying to push you forward into your feet and your stride and stuff. And the slower you run, the less sense it makes biomechanically.
Yeah.
So
it's about kinetic energy and weight.
Yeah.
And that connects to what you were just saying about falling over. I find an odd connection. When I started running, I was really paranoid about falling over. But I think it was pure being a bit kind of anal about the whole thing.
Right.
You know? Just worried, I better not run in case I hurt myself. You know what I mean? That was a fundamental bit of a Will Hunting thing with me. I better not do it in case it goes wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And in the long game, that's the great beauty of running, not just running, but coming to running in my... There we go. That's it. We've done our five.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
And let's get rewarded with
this incredible
view.
Five long, slow uphills.
Thanks for that.
View of London.
Very, very
lovely,
nice.
Lovely,
lovely. Lovely, lovely.
So where are you
going? Nice to share that
where,
with
where
the
did
other
you
guy
this
who
weekend?
Fast things as well. I was just going to say, I'll answer that. But coming to running at whatever I was, grown up, up and left?
Yeah.
the lesson was, use your body, you know, wear it out.
Yeah.
Oh, get
yeah.
some scars, get some long-term niggles.
Definitely.
It's okay. That is the lesson that Deering needed to learn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've never regretted that. But equally, I remember that when I started out, how my kind of morbid fear of curbs.
Right.
But then at another level that connects with everything we've been saying, you're at much more danger of hurting yourself when you fall over when you're going fast.
Yeah.
But you weren't going fast, but it's the same kind of thing. When you stretch yourself.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with carrying stuff or going really far. You just get, it becomes more.
But also the energy impacting on me was going fast because those dogs were travelling.
Yeah.
They were galloping. Yeah, but I mean that thing of like.
We got you at last.
Injuries to the body thing. I definitely feel that I want to hand my body back broken up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't want to, but it's okay to do so.
Yeah, exactly. When else are we going to use it?
I've had two hernias. I've had my wrist has been broken, the shoulder thing, and various stitches in my head. It's okay.
Yeah. And we carry these little things. It's all part of the story of who we are.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, I always think of this. You remember the computer game Doom?
Yes.
And of course, computer games always used to have lives. I'm sure they still do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's quite a simple, crass arrangement. And me being me, sure, I'm not the only one. But you try not only to complete the computer game, but to still have all your lives.
Right.
So you lose one of your six lives, your 10 lives, and you think, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a perfect score now.
Right.
And it's the same as in Doom. It really brings it home because the way they had that, there was a little picture of you, a little sort of avatar on top of the screen. And when you got injured,
you lost a bit.
You could see the picture of you suffering.
Yeah.
You know, a little cut above the eyebrow.
Yeah, funny.
And when you were about to go, that picture of you at the top was in a right state.
Yeah.
And I always think of that. I think that's okay. It's the way that's what those lives are for.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what life is like. You want to end like Doom.
Yeah.
You know, you want to end up in a right state with a massive empty gun.
You've used it.
And eventually get taken by a terrified tomato alien down a corridor.
Yeah.
Sounds good. But yeah, see, what else are we going to use it?
Yeah, it's adventure, isn't it?
It's interesting. But again, running is the metaphor for this whole thing. It's like that thing about not going off too fast, you know, and saving it. It's like, there's only so much you can save. You know, when you get to 23 miles, you're not going to be able to open the cupboard and go, oh, good, here's all my fitness. But on the other hand, good pacing and stuff will get you
there. Yeah, I'm surprised by
the dialogue.
I've had a few people contact me sort of talking about their negative splits.
Yeah.
Which just always fills me with awe.
Yeah.
Never managed to do that.
No.
Yeah, what a nice day. So we're just looping back into Highgate Wood now.
Yeah. We're going to go along the terraces.
Yeah.
Through Muswell Hill. Keep an eye out left because there was a house on Grand Designs the other day that you can see from this terrace.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the middle-class North London lifestyle right there.
Yeah, of course. my old George and Rudy want to do the marathon next year. I don't think they'll realise how hard it is to get into London.
No, right.
But they want to run a marathon. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
See if they do it. See, George has run a half, so.
That's funny, isn't it? I think it's a difficult one, the youngsters, because I think it's such a gift, the brilliant thing of being young and fit. But that means it's a wider scope. There'll be plenty of youngsters who think, well, I didn't really do much training. 3:20. And other ones who go, well, I've done all the training, I should be fine and feel good. Twang, had to stop.
Yeah.
You know, the possibility of both those eventualities
it's tough.
Is greater because you've got
a more
versatile machine. Gosh, it is a thing, that's for sure. And that's the other thing I was going to say about it, is trying to find some kind of deep emotional truth in that dialogue between being in it and watching it. I was saying before, it's love, really, that connection between the runner and the spectator.
Yes.
So I was also thinking about it in terms of comedy. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. Remember it particularly from my early days in comedy, as you start to get to not even the really big runs, but just the kind of gigs you actually want to be doing.
Yeah.
That your performance ambition puts you into.
Yeah.
Generally, you've sat in them watching comedy. I remember this so clearly. The Cabaret Bar at the Pleasance.
Right.
Which is actually not. A, it's not a huge venue. And B, it's not a perfect venue.
No.
But it's such a vibe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
and it's a really exciting place
really
to be.
Nice room, yeah.
And I can remember being in there and watching the comedy and thinking, God, I'd love to be on that stage. And then I can feel it so clearly in my, I can see it in my mind's eye, but also feel it in my comedy soul. The flip to being behind the mic,
yes,
in that room,
yeah,
looking into the darkness.
Yeah.
And it is, it's exactly the same thing, and it's completely different.
Yeah.
And that's what the difference between doing and watching the marathon is.
It's a kind of sort of projection, isn't it, over the runners by the crowd. It's like that,
yeah,
sort of they see their own drama in their drama sort of thing.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
It's a lovely interplay.
And ultimately,
and especially the longer it goes on, the more you realise what they're going through, the the unravelling, you know.
That's right. And you do look comedians.
Yeah.
The next two mystery voices are comedian Mark Mayer and impressionist Alistair McGowan.
Oh, hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good to see you.
How are you? Nice to see you. Oh, beep, beep.
Oh, sorry. God.
You okay? Good to see you.
Don't be cross with us, though. That's not reasonable. Oh, we're recording our podcast.
Oh, are you? What?
Running commentary, yeah.
Running commentary.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
It's about a man who nearly managed to run across the desert.
Yeah, it's the fourth in a long series.
It's my
now,
first
actually.
Run back.
He was going to do the Marathon de Sable.
And then that dog
over by that
ran
dog.
Into me and ran me over. It was that one.
Is that dog?
No.
It was a dog. He went down.
Two dogs smashed into me. I was running through with like a weighted rucksack just through Highgate Woods, and I smashed into my shoulder. So he's partially dislocated and torn ligaments.
And then for a little while longer, he thought, I'm still going to run across the desert. And then he said,
so I kept buying things right to last minute just to make it worse. And then a few days before, it was just too much work.
Paul, don't do it.
That's right. Actually, I think that normal people said, Paul, don't do it. And comedians said, get out there.
Do it. Be a laugh. Yeah. Be a laugh. Tell us about it. Do it. Do it and cause irreparable damage.
I'm standing unnecessarily close to you, by the way, in case you speak. And just try and pick you up on this. If you thought I was making my move. I mean, I really am.
Funny.
That was
Cessna.
Yeah, I'm just trying to pick you up on my mic.
Have you done his gig yet? Is he... How, was it good fun?
Yeah.
Well, how good, well fantastic. Did go? He's still here.
Fantastic. Awesome. what japes, man? Are you doing much live stuff at the minute, then, or what?
Well, I think of myself as semi-retired.
Right.
Yeah.
And did
countryside as well, you see.
Oh, right. Nice.
And did you enjoy it? Did you feel a familiar vibe, a distance? Did you hear the call again? The call of the wild?
It's so strange when you start off and you do your mix of bills, don't you?
Mm.
It's 20 minutes with everybody like it was last night.
Mm.
Lovely, there's a camaraderie.
Yes.
And then you get more successful, if you're lucky, and suddenly you're doing your hour show on your own.
You get more isolated.
On your own.
Yeah.
And then for years you don't see anybody.
Yeah.
The dressing room is a lonely place, isn't it? Even at a lovely show.
At the same time, when you don't do a bill that's shared, it's quite difficult because you think, ooh, I haven't set the tone, it's not my room.
Yeah, absolutely. It is different. It is a different thing. Yeah, I'm working with a comic at the moment, and she's great on the circuit, and then she's sending me tapes of a tour, and she's absolutely fantastic on tour, because that's her crowd. But some comics are worse when they go on tour, and they're better on the circuit. It's quite an interesting dynamic. Some are less individual, perhaps, or whatever.
Yeah, and in fact, I did a gig on Friday, and it's nothing, but it's interesting because it happened this weekend. Compere didn't turn up. And it really changed the gig. The gig was lovely. The audience were nice. There was only two of us on. We both did longer. And just that sense of we both... And then the first guy said, oh, do you want me to bring you on? I said, no, I'll do what you did. We'll take this a completely neutral room and make it our own. And I really enjoyed that change you're talking about. It was a whole different gig because it was my little surprise tour show.
It's more gladiatorial when you do the circuit, isn't it? And it's more... indulgent in a good way when you're touring, do you know what I mean? It's sort of a little bit of a different thing. Both can be invigorating, you know, if you embrace them. But
mix it up then, partly because the impressions is sort of a, well, my agent got across to me because I was quoted out of Ponte Ada, where I had given the person permission to quote it, saying that my way of working is sort of finished. And some agents said, no one's going to book you anymore.
Don't say that, though.
Because there's too many famous people?
Not enough.
Or not enough famous people, not enough knowledge.
Not enough common parlance.
Watching the four channels, people will say to me, oh, you watch this on Netflix?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Nobody knows, and the young people, I did a gig recently, and asked a friend to come who's just about 40, then said, can you give me some notes? And she said afterwards, I didn't know all the newsreaders and weather people you did, because I never watched the BBC or ITV News.
Yeah.
Yeah, 40. Yeah, yeah.
No, you're
yeah.
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, and I always think back to Spitting Image, the way that Spitting Image could have so much fun with someone like Jeffrey Howe. And now, in terms of that place in the government, no one would know who that was. Certainly, no. What they sound like.
But even years ago, I remember vividly, it was doing my impression of Ian Rush years ago when Ian played for him. And someone said to me, I don't know who he is, but if it's funny, I'll laugh anyway.
So yeah. Voices. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Basically, it's not a funny voice anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and then use the voice as a character, basically.
Poetry book coming out in June, which is a mixture of quite soul-searching.
Oh, great. Oh, that sounds fantastic, excellent. Man. Good for you, man.
We do think of ourselves as semi-retired as well, but only just because of so few bookings.
Yeah. It's not intentional.
No, it was a choice. It was not self-inflicted. There we go. That's beautiful.
Right, let's go, man. Take care, man. God bless you. Really nice to see you, man. Take care. Yeah, cheers,
Billy. See you.
It's all worked according to plan.
Yeah, nicely done.
Harry Hill next week, yeah? Cheers, brother. Take care.
See you, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I don't know whether that will have picked up on the mic, but it was a nice little chat.
Well, I think I got quite close to Alistair, and you weren't that close to Mark, so we'll just cut Mark.
Yeah, just he likes that. He likes it when you do that.
Yeah, Alistair McGowan, Mark Mayer, just as I was saying, North London life. But great to catch up and get that sense.
He was an absolute titan on the circuit, wasn't he, McGowan?
Yeah, and
he
really
was a beast.
Only
absolute
talking
beast
offhandly
on the
about it, but just really. Absolute, the perfect impressionist with the really brilliantly observed, but as he
urbane
said, always
manner.
Wrapped around good comedy.
Yeah,
but also really, I really connected with what they were saying about gigs. I was trying to pin down what it was about Friday night's gig that made things interesting.
Where were you at?
It was in the Ian Forster Theatre in Tunbridge Wells.
Right.
Very nice little studio-y gig.
Yes.
I think people often say, oh, they're very quiet here. But it's a
I've done that fairly recently.
Yeah, and they're not. You just need to get them going. It just starts from it's like a Petri dish. It's a drama studio.
Right.
So it starts from a very kind of blank start.
Right.
And then you make the gig, and then it's you and them, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of beautiful. And the compere, everyone was very sympathetic because the compere got stuck in traffic.
Right.
With not much reference to the fact that the others of us had driven there by a similar route.
Yeah,
It could be argued.
Stuck in traffic,
Or stayed in his house too long.
Stuck in his house.
Anyway, and then the first guy went on. And also, very different act to me, character act, whole another thing. He was very nervous about not comparing, but he did. He just kind of sprinkled he was honest about the gig in character and then just did his set, you know.
Yeah.
And then I thought, this would be good. And honestly, it was really like, I felt like I broke up all the Lego of my set and threw it on the floor and just picked it up one by one.
Right.
And even though I did everything I normally do, it just felt very fresh and different and very, as you would say, loosey-goosey.
Good. Yeah, that's nice.
And then the next day, I was doing tight biff-baff-bosh sets, 20-minute sets in two clubs driving in between.
Yeah.
But I still felt that energy.
Good.
And the first of those gigs was in a village. There was no one in their 20s or younger in the audience.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
It's funny when the people in their 30s are the youngest in the room. Look at this little one sitting up. Excellent. Little baby having their first sit on a bench.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is fantastic. I can see why you do this. I think I can see that Grand Designs. Oh, yeah, it's really nice. 5 stars. Would recommend. So, yeah, I was in Tunbridge on Friday, no compare.
Yeah.
Nice long set, had a really good time. And then on... So, I mean, wasn't it... I'm trying not to go off on one about my weekend, but it's just been a very special time.
Yeah, that's great. You've
it starts with yeah. being so happy to have Julia around. So I'm sorry that was because she had a cold.
Yeah.
But it really made my day. And then, that first gig was special and loose and kind of surprisingly like a tour show. And then me and Julie went to... I did my 10-mile and recorded my Running Jacks Radio down in Southwark for Shakespeare's birthday.
Right.
That special theme everyone's been
wanting.
Yeah. When, oh when, is Rob going to record a Shakespeare-based running music show? So you're welcome, guys. And then I met Julie at Broadway Market. And while we were down there, we met a nice guy, James, who used to work at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Gave us free brownies.
Nice.
We walked back and looked at some wisteria in the full glow of its bloom. That was nice. Then I got in my hired van and I drove down to the country at Linfield. That's where I was the first gig on Saturday night. Do you know, they were so nice that when I went on and said, "Hi, Linfield, Friday night, how are you feeling?" No one even said anything.
Right, yeah.
I forgot what day it was, and they let me get away with it. You can get that in Jonglers, would you? I'd take you down to Chinatown. And then over to the Forge. And the audiences were lovely.
Yeah, the Forge.
And I also kept seeing people I knew. The guy who gave us the brownies was just the first one. James Morgan, the conductor, who's got early onset Parkinson's. I've done gigs with him and his Juliet Potion, their partnership.
Yeah.
And they do these classical music and comedy fundraiser gigs at the Albert Hall, which led to me, we've talked about it, playing the Albert Hall. And he was at my gig on Saturday. He's like, "We should do another one of those." I was like, "Yeah."
Nice, yeah, of course.
You know,
flashback.
Yes. That was a dog properly lining up. Just a little, there was a little twinkle there, wasn't it? Didn't really mean it. It's like, remember, we'll always be here. And so he was there, lovely to see him. And then, incredible drive, like over the South Downs, really properly like fictional. It was like going through the Alps.
Yeah.
And then to the Forge at the Ironworks in Brighton, which is a gorgeous gig.
It's really nice,
felt like felt like a music gig, and I felt like a rock star in there. Old family friend in the audience.
Nice.
Also, friends, people have seen me before, running commentary, just this constant vibe, this dialogue, you know. And then yesterday was a marathon.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been on a kind of...
little mini...
like a spiritual retreat.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It's been a very special time.
Well, I went for a meal on Saturday out in Crescent.
And why were you going after him? Emil, I went for Emil, sorry.
And
yeah, just carry on.
Yeah. And, and it was just, because it's something that we rarely get the chance to do.
Yeah.
Such good fun.
Yeah.
Just going for a meal and chatting to old mates and having a laugh and catching up.
Yeah.
Should we go into the park in the little...
Yeah, yeah, I'll keep it short.
Maybe not the whole loop.
That's
just
right.
Just
how
turn
far
left.
Have I gone? I'm supposed to go... you pick whatever route will get us.
No, we'll go the quickest way back.
In about 1.2 miles.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
That's what I want.
Okay, cool.
Time, some time. Distance, some distance in miles. Oh, so just going into Highgate Wood, which is open today. Just let me take a photo of this. Look at this.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Here he is. Show us your woods. Also, it appears at this stage to be entirely dog-free. In fact, entirely person-free. Oh, no, there's some people.
That's right. Can't wait to get back here and do some...
So, yeah, you're out to dinner, isn't it? Beautiful.
Yeah, it was just like that sort of Saturday night vibe that other people are so used to, but to us it's so different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very exciting, loads of fun. That contributes to the...
I told you a few weeks ago, didn't I, about emptying my safe self-storage?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it got much more expensive because it does.
Yeah.
So I had to empty it because we can't afford it. Haven't got rid of any of it.
Right.
Just a similar, same massive box of stuff we don't need at all.
Yeah.
But I had this van and we've ended our contract with the storage people. So after this religious London Marathon viewing yesterday. I went down and went and started getting the stuff out.
Yeah.
And it was just quite funny because I was saying, well, I don't need any of it. Just throw it all away. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I feel so free. And then I got half of it in the van, brought it home. Went back this morning, got the rest of it. I thought, thank goodness I wasn't actually dealing with it yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Because
this is all... away some pretty important
this is
stuff.
All absolutely vital. Yeah.
Account details.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby pictures.
Old photos. Old Christmas cards.
There's a lot of dogs in these woods, aren't there, Paul? We didn't think that through when we came in. A bit worried about it now. Oh, it's just talking about this spring weather and that kind of good running conditions, chill. It's still, you can still feel it a little bit cold even though we're running. And the leaves are dusted with this deep new green foliage. Or as they say in Gardener's World these days, foliage.
Right.
And it just, it's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful, yeah. So tell us about the training for Race to the Kings. How many days a week running? And is it a basic sort of one long run a week kind of thing? And
it's kind of one long run a week.
Right.
It sort of goes like this. You get out on a Monday.
Yeah.
And you do something a little bit training-y, like the hill reps
right,
today.
Right, okay, yeah.
And you get out on a Wednesday and you do something different a bit training, like right. Intervals or progression.
Right.
And then the rest of the week, it's filled in with varying distances of easy miles.
Yeah.
Culminating in a long run on a Saturday.
Right.
Generally. And yeah. Then often the long run is kind of not so much our thing of going out and doing two long runs back to back, but certainly a sense of doing more running.
Right.
And having a longish run.
Yeah.
In a subsequent or previous day.
Right, okay.
It feels a lot like the way we do it. Do you know what I mean? It
yeah.
hasn't been like a massive paradigm shift for me.
Although the notion of doing different things like, you know, progressive runs or intervals is a bit new, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Although you do progressive runs fairly naturally
exactly,
on your own.
And I often go out on a Wednesday and just run faster than any other run in the week.
Yeah.
And then there's the parkrun factor.
Yeah.
Always run as fast as I can on Saturday morning, you know.
Right.
I felt, when I went out on last Wednesday, I was expecting to be going sort of 8, 15 miles. And that's what I felt like I was doing. If I run south on a chilly morning,
yeah,
it's slightly downhill, and then you get to Victoria Park, which is a lovely, easy space to run in.
Sure, we'll run to the end of this and
go
then
down the road. Yeah, and it's also, I don't know, I feel like not competitive, but there's all the other runners
yeah.
in Victoria Park. I think it is a kind of competitiveness, but I'm not letting myself off when I say it's a bit different to that. It's more a sense that when there's other runners around, you kind of want to be your best self.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
a mirror. And the runner you want to be on your best day, you see them and you think, oh, yeah, that's me too. I do that.
Yeah.
And off you go. Anyway, so that's why that run always brings out a bit of speed in me. And it's good because then it finishes up the same hill.
Right.
When you've run a fair distance. So maintaining pace becomes a decision, you know. But anyway, went out. This voice said in my ear, you've run your first mile in 7.5.
Nice.
I was like, what? Really? And then I really worried that was going to fall off. So actually, I did the whole, it was 6.2 miles. I did the rest of it in 7.5 miles too, except the second and third,
yeah.
which were faster. Because the second one, I was obviously panicking that I was going to slow down.
Right.
So I started kind of leathering it. But then gradually levered off. That's the other thing.
This is the spot, by the way. We haven't been here since. This is the spot.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it smashed in. Hopefully, I didn't go into that. I don't think so.
It wouldn't have helped.
No.
Yeah.
But it's still a little bit funny to be back here.
Did you bring any... I'd like to apologise to the person whose bench this is in memory of. But I'm going to stand up on it.
I feel like
we need some, like, CSI tape. Perhaps you get some dogs to come over and
yeah.
stand around.
And then I kind of limped around here and then tried to continue, realised it was useless and went back.
Yeah. So did you have to walk home from here?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit like that journey across London, isn't it? I mean,
it is,
how
yeah.
much pain were you in?
A lot of pain, but yeah. just a sort of increasing misery.
Yeah, trying to get used to a new reality.
Yeah, I was sort of barely aware that I don't know. I wasn't going to do the race this time, but I knew it was in question suddenly.
Well, it changed everything, you know.
Yeah. But go on then. So you're in your run. You've done your first mile.
Yeah, I'd done the second mile too fast.
Right.
Settled back down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then. And then I just really liked it, thinking that feeling of maintaining, and knowing that I was running about the same pace.
Nice.
And again, this...
And feeling powerful, feeling strong.
Yeah, and after... And it, oh, that's right, I forgot about that, you're right. I'd forgotten that feeling specifically. Because I do like the...
That kind of post-marathon strength.
Exactly.
Starting to flavour.
You never expect it because you're all busy recovering.
Yeah.
And it also comes on quickly because you're still... You know, I can still feel... I don't know, I still feel achy from Brighton or whatever. I certainly did then.
Yeah.
But then I was, I was on the, I was thinking about it the same way as we were saying about the third quarter or the fourth lap.
Yeah.
I was thinking as I left the park, I think, well, I've nearly done 4 of my 6 miles.
Yeah.
And the fifth mile's the one that's going to be tough to hold.
Yeah.
And as I powered into the sixth mile up the hill.
Power.
I did it, you know, I'm pushing it, I'm sweating and stuff.
Yeah.
And also running, of course, like I did when I first ran.
Yeah.
That was the only gear I had.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, oh yeah, the Brighton Marathon was a training run.
Of course, yeah.
Absolutely.
That was the whole point, not feeling utterly broken, you know.
I felt it. And as I said earlier, I also felt this strange, it feels really logical to see the big picture and imagine myself being strong and fast in the summer and the autumn because of this time away from that training for a 100K. So, but that sense that when you do monitor your splits, which is something I never would have done, you know, so it's interesting. You monitor your splits and go long and choose the speed. It's really wonderful to see them evening off. As I say, I'm not very good at this, so even in Brighton, I was misunderstanding the stats and thinking that I was adding a minute or losing 30 seconds here. But I was misunderstanding them because that was very topical pace.
Yeah.
You know, basically, it's such a wonderful thing to kind of just pick a rhythm and stay with it.
To me, that's my... I love running on the trails completely off watch.
Yeah.
I'm not worried at all. I'm totally going on sort of internal... Just how feeling and spiritual blending kind of vibe.
Yeah, but when you do that, I bet you're running at really even splits.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, maybe.
It's just
maybe.
You're just not measuring.
Maybe. But to be on a flat bit of tarmac and you've established your tempo and you're just digging into it and flowing into it, I love that feeling.
Yeah. But don't
getting
you think
into the rhythm.
That's what's funny about them is that they are deep down the runner, the running machine, that your body, as opposed to your head, is doing the same thing.
But it
just ask of it.
But the trails give variety, don't they?
Yeah,
they give
that's
constant
right.
variety, moment to moment awareness. But the running's just the flat tarmac's more. It feels more purely athletic in a way.
Yeah.
That I really
and
like.
You're pushing it. You know, you're looking at it.
Absolutely,
saying,
yeah.
So there's a mech point in the garden of this pub. You can't hide from me.
Hello.
Hello. I knew you were there. Morning, magpie.
and when you're on tarmac, you don't have to worry about where your feet are going.
Yeah.
Because you're just there. But
then,
of course, there's always the danger of your ankle exploding.
Yeah, that's right. And it can be very... I find on marathons, when you come around the corner and the road just opens up ahead of you, like the finish line of Brighton or the 22nd, 23rd mile of York, suddenly it's so daunting.
Yeah.
Because it's just you and your footsteps and the tarmac. And the future.
Yeah.
No, but I agree. I think it's lovely that steadiness, and when you've decided on a pace and you're holding it.
Yeah.
And the road is just going to support you. All you need is other people and
yes.
a few twists and turns to stop it being too relentless. Yeah. It's also, as well as the fitness, it's funny coming away from a marathon and that feeling of wanting to do another one.
Yeah.
Because you're not... It's more complicated than, I'll do another one. I loved it. It's more like an addiction. It's like, that was an incredible experience and I'm going to go back for it, you know.
Yeah.
All the fear and vertiginousness and just general not knowing what it's going to be like and putting yourself in.
It's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what you're chasing.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, let's got this. I don't know if we can see this running along, but this is me this week. It's 6.2 miles with 5 times 400 meter hill repeats.
All right, okay.
We basically did that, right?
Yeah.
Miles easy tomorrow.
Right.
7.5, half easy, half tempo on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a nice sort
of what I'll do, I'll run to here. I'll come from my house to the top of the Parkland Walk and then turn back.
And I'll have a go back at it.
I'll decide to go a bit faster, but also the downhill's really going to help.
Yeah.
Is that cheating?
No.
No. And then 3.1 miles, 5K on Thursday.
Right.
Which is just exactly the kind of run that you just probably wouldn't bother doing if it wasn't in the training schedule. And yet, I'm always running to your house or running to Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
So that's the same as that. Then 9.3 on Friday, 18.6 on Saturday.
What, so miles?
That's miles. So
right,
that's
okay.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday is 5K, 15K, 30K.
Right.
So, you know.
So that's quite a bump up from 10 miles on Saturday.
That's right.
Right.
Well, that was a resting week. See?
Right, okay, cool.
So I was coming into it, but it wasn't the first week of the training.
Right, okay.
There was the assumption that I'd been going further before that.
Cool.
Which luckily...
Which you sort of have, yeah.
I had. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. It's a 50-mile week this week.
Yeah. It's not nothing, mate.
No.
You'll have to do your exercises around it.
Yeah. And again, I've been being really strict about fitting those in, planking every day. Planking every day is really interesting because it's simultaneously, like any good exercise, it doesn't really get easier, but your body just learns to expect it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I get to whatever it is, however long into it, and I think, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it, just the other side of my brain thinks, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
On we go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So... And in fact, the hardest day to not drink was yesterday because it was the day off because I wasn't doing any other exercises.
Yeah.
But even then, I saw it coming. I thought, I'm going to want to drink
today. Yeah, I always find Sunday the hardest day.
Yeah. I'm talking of Sundays and having a drink and you going out with your friends. Do you remember when you went to Tetto's?
Yes.
On the Clissold Park?
Yes.
Have you seen the state of Tetto's now?
It's a right mess, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they...
They're tearing it to bits,
The idea is that they're stripping it down and building it back up. But whether that will happen is another
complete.
Question. I think those Christmas trees are going to get too big. So...
Should we do some PBs? Because we've probably reached that...
Can we do that whilst running along?
Well, no, I mean...
It's a bit of a trip hazard, Paul.
Oh, no, I'm saying we might have reached the 1.2.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how exact you want to be on that.
You're right. I do want to know. Let's run back to your house.
Right, okay.
The other thing, I'm getting it now, and I think it's worth noting. I've been getting an ache in my right hip.
Right.
I think it's just very long-term use. And sometimes it's in my left hip. It's just age and use, I think. But I've been also getting a little bit of... Last week I had a couple of niggles, as they say.
Yeah.
In the back of my left leg. First in the calf and then further up in the back of my thigh.
Right.
But do you know what I think that is? And I had a bit of an epiphany with it.
What?
I think it's referred pain because I've got this ongoing...
You've got that thing on your foot.
...blister verruca thing.
Right.
So I think it's... throwing up. I'm just holding and taking the pressure very slightly off the front of my left foot, and it's costing the back of my leg. I've got to get to the foot doctor. I've just got a sore spot under the ball of my left foot and on the side of my right foot.
Well, that'll affect how you're running, won't it?
Absolutely.
Massively, yeah.
And, you know, they feel like blisters, but they're ongoing, so they're probably verrucas. And I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who can just look at their feet. But my feet are very far away, and my eyesight's not that great. And I also, in a very real way, don't want to look at them.
Yeah.
So until I get to the doctors, we're not going to know what's going on. But I'm a bit loath to go, because they might give them a bit of a treatment, which might throw off
which
my training.
Which might affect the thing, yeah.
I might have to take time off. I don't want to. But I'll go and then we'll
see. Do we know how Esther got on in the marathon yesterday?
No, she's someone I haven't come across. I'll find out.
Yeah.
I think the only people I've seen, because it's been a very busy time, so there's a lot of good running commentary. Mark Boosie had a great London.
Right.
He said it was his third time doing London, And it wasn't a PB in his life, but it was a London Marathon course PB.
Right.
And he had a great run.
Nice.
Beat his time by 8 minutes, I think.
Cool.
I'm just plucking that one out of the accident. Write it down. And then there's all the some other people I know who aren't necessarily in the running commentary dialogue, like Colette Florence did it. And there was a lovely video from Parkinson's of the oldest runner and the younger runner.
Right.
Meeting two women. And I was really loving the Parkinson's runners starting to come past from looking down from the Curtis Arc, you know, because again, it's everything is in microcosm, you know, within that, just that one charity. And I'm sure like all the other charities, you've got old runners and young runners and people who've been affected by it in different ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every slice of the marathon reveals the same, I don't know, diversity of experience and that fundamental thing that everyone's different and everyone's the same. Yeah, he set me off on it again there. But yeah, and I don't really know how Ivo and Rosie did, but they were looking great at Curtis Arc. And of course, that's a great run for Rosie.
Yeah.
She's such a, you know, she obviously she's, Ivo was pushing her in a wheelchair, but she was giving it.
Right.
You know, she's like, yeah! You can imagine with her, that's not going to stop for the whole, she'll, that's it, isn't it? That's the lady telling me how far I've run. And that means, how far have we gone then? I wasn't listening. You probably heard her, dear listener. But I didn't. Yeah, there you go. I ran to the self-storage this morning, so
right.
I've done 0.3 of a mile too far today, Paul.
What?
It's cancelled.
So I reckon, since we met, we've done about, what, five?
Yeah, that's pretty much bang on.
Yeah, I've done about six, because I ran to you, that's about a mile and a half.
And I ran to you from dropping off the van.
So it's my first
run
back.
When the feeling's right, I'm going to run all night, I'm going to run to you. How are you feeling after your first run back?
Well, that's my first run back. I did about six and a half miles and some hills, and I feel okay.
Yeah.
It just feels a bit, a bit unstable, the shoulder. I've just got to strengthen the muscles around it and hope for the best.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to need surgery. It feels too strong to need surgery.
Well, even though it's a darker time and you've got a worse injury, there is something in a comparison with me still feeling bright and whilst feeling the strength of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking about having that underlying fitness. I think you're accessing it now.
Yeah, you? I think it could come back pretty quickly if I do everything right off. Off, you know, get off the booze. I managed to put an half a stone in like 2.5 weeks.
Oh, it's easily done, isn't
it? Yeah, it really
goodness.
Is. Yeah.
But equally, you know, it's all marginal gains. I'm going to try. I'm hoping to be about half a stone lighter by the time I get to Race to the King. And you know,
makes a difference.
It'll make a difference.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a run with Liam when he's recovered from London, so you can tell me all about the Race of the King, and now I'll be able to hear about London.
Good. Yeah.
And of course, although you've interviewed him a couple of times and I've met him, I've never run with him, so that'll be nice.
No,
I just hope he slows down a bit, though.
Yeah.
I just run London with Liam.
I'm doing 8 miles tempo this morning, Rob.
Come back! Liam!
So,
tips for the race? He's gone.
So we're going to do some PBs now, but congratulations to just everyone had a good time at the weekend, you know.
Yeah,
obviously London and beyond.
Everyone's
like, it's not just London. Of course, there's loads of other events happening.
Yeah, and of course, when it comes down to it, we are Londoners. You know, it's a special marathon in the world, and it's a very London moment. You know, it's all about London, isn't it? But yeah, well, you know how excited we are about all events, and how particularly excited we're going to get about, say, York.
Bom, bom, ba-dum, bom, bom. Yeah, all the ones we're in or close to.
Yeah. We're really excited about things from our own lives.
Yeah.
And your life.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I always feel I'm a little bit, I kind of never want to take away from people who got PBs, but also I really want to remind everyone that the PBs, you know, they're just a marker.
Yeah.
It's just a journey. And whatever serves, you know.
Yeah.
So, like you say, absolutely, that we are. Anyone who did any run this weekend, and just to pluck out the example, all the London Marathon runners with absolute equal love to every last one.
You've had the experience. You've got
the famous ones, the ones who had to stop.
Yeah.
The people we never met, the people we know well, the people who, you know, whose gold, silver, and bronzes we knew about, and whatever. Yeah, it's just it's love, man. It's love. Yeah.
Oh, mate. It's great when you don't drink.
It's really obviously not necessary. Okay, so these PBs, I'm really glad that we're doing this because I actually missed a couple of really good ones from Manchester because they came in after we recorded.
Okay, cool.
So let's go back to last week first.
Okay, so Manchester. This one, Manchester. Mark Hookins, second marathon.
Hookin and the boys.
40 minutes faster. Well run, mate. 3 hours and 54 minutes. James Cole, cut it fine, but got the goal with 9 seconds to spare. His goal was to beat 4 hours. He achieved that. He smashed through the barrier. 3 hours, 59 and 51 seconds.
Brilliant.
Well done.
James
Cole, fantastic.
Now, this is at the Reading Half. Paul Griffiths got a three. This is a while back. We didn't pick it up. So, sorry, Paul, not to mention this before now.
Yeah.
But a huge 3-minute PB on an already very speedy time at Reading Half. 1 hour, 40 minutes, 18 seconds. As Paul, you said yourself.
Woof, 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 woof. Lee Langley, 5K.
Yeah, this is nice. Lee Lansley, actually.
Lee Lansley.
Lee Lansley got in touch and said, how do we do, what do we do about PBs? So do I just tell me what you got. And he came through. He's got like, he's written a book on PBs.
Wow, brilliant. 5K, 18:57.
It's a windy one, too.
Windy. London Winter 10K, 37 minutes, 52. Oh, and then Booyakasha. London Landmarks Half Marathon, also windy. 3 minutes off, 84 minutes and 4 seconds.
Lee, no wonder Lee wanted to celebrate this.
A thruple of PBs. Awesome. He's away.
Is Lee in a thruple, is he?
Awesome.
Oh, I misunderstood what you were telling me.
Yeah, thruple.
Okay, now we move on to this
I'm
week. Guess who got a faster time at his parkrun this week?
Not Pete Winder. He wouldn't do it.
Of course it was Pete Winder. Took another 5 seconds off, got himself into the 1840s.
Brilliant.
On his 25th parkrun.
Finished 18 minutes and 49 seconds. Well done, Pete.
Yeah, huge.
Stuart Strath.
Another one of our followers who just gives, he's just faster every single week. Every single week. Stuart was in Kerry with Susie and met old Cathy. No, right. Stuart was at old Cathy Parkrun and they saw Kerry. That's a bit of fun I had with the town name old Cathy.
And he did a parkrun 5K PB of 22 minutes and 21 seconds. Well done.
Fastest ever 5K in any context.
We sort of don't need to say parkrun 5K. PB, because all parkruns are 5K.
Yeah, but they're two different ones. He's got his parkrun PB. He beat his parkrun PB by I can't remember how it works, but his previously his 5K PB was faster than his best.
All right, okay, cool. Right,
it's a different 5K.
Right,
event.
Okay, cool.
But this time, from here on in,
yeah, we'll just say parkrun
unless otherwise.
Unless otherwise, no.
I'm so sorry, Stuart. If Paul's pedanticness is spoiling your
And then Lee Lansley again.
He's back
with a parkrun PB 5K.
I mean,
18 minutes and 41 seconds.
How much faster is that? That was only a little bit later. We didn't say where the other one was. That was 18:57. So it's quite a lot faster.
Right.
In
16 seconds off. Awesome.
Ooh, Lee, what a season you're having. He's on a big training schedule and he's picking them up as he goes.
Yeah,
so
low hanging fruit.
Here's Kieran Lightfoot. Kieran Fleet of Foot.
Kieran, aptly named Lightfoot.
Yeah, knocked 38 minutes off in London.
Ooh.
And 38 minutes off.
Sub 3 hours. Well done. 2 hours, 58 and 52 seconds. What a day for Kieran.
Yeah, huge. Huh? What? I think today is not quite so much fun.
Yeah, but that's awesome. Yeah, awesome.
And Jenny.
Jenny Sawford.
The BH. Fantastic. Jenny Sawford. We've been following
her journey.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Working with, I think Jenny's been saying this is the last marathon for physical reasons, but fully committed to having a good one as a result, and gave us her gold, silver, bronze, and apparently this was just a silver. I think gold was under 5 hours, but you can put that away now.
Even
Jenny,
so, she managed
just a way of ideating the marathon. You definitely
even so, she
it.
Managed a PB of 1 hour and 7 minutes.
That counts, doesn't
to call
it?
That a silver.
I know exactly. So we're going to let those gold, silver, bronzes go now, Jenny, because that's huge.
Well run, 5 hours, 8 minutes, and 24 seconds. Congratulations, Jenny.
Yeah,
that's
and brilliant.
Brilliant run.
That was you took that marathon. On and smashed it, rolled it up in a ball and threw it into the sky, and it went.
You smashed it. Neil Hunting.
Yeah. Not much detail here, Neil, but no, that's okay.
Very little detail. Just two numbers.
Two numbers, because you got four. Oh no, but that's true. It was a significant. Now I thought that was the PB increase, but the last PB was 4:17.
Yeah.
And the new one's 3:51. So it knocked half an hour off.
Incredible. Well
half
run.
Half an hour off a 4-hour-ish marathon is absolutely massive.
Feel free to give us more information.
Good Neil Hunting.
Yeah. Yeah. How about them apples?
I mean, I can't stress enough that what we're saying, that it's everyone. Ultimately, we love everybody.
Yeah.
Whether you got a PB, you didn't PB, whether you run or you don't run.
Even the people who own the dogs that sent me spinning over, we even love them.
Yeah.
And we look forward to getting their name and address so that maybe we can get some
so
of the money.
So you can do the court case.
Feel free to get in touch because we love you so much.
He's not quite as lovey-dovey as me today.
Actually, it feels great to go for a run again. And then once I have a little chat with the publishers, work out which direction we're going to go, make some decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
And also make some bad decisions.
If you do go to the desert, make sure you work out which direction to go when you're there as well.
Yeah, that's very important. But, yeah, so well done. Congratulations. Awesome. Just dislocated my shoulder when I clapped.
Careful. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to us on Acast Plus now for ad-free listening and more.
Happy running. Love you.
Kiss, kiss.